Welcome, friends. You are listening to the Mind Body Alchemy Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Miramontes. This is where intuition meets education in the realms of spirituality, fitness, mindset, and more, all to create lasting change.
Welcome back to the podcast, and thank you so much for being here. Today, I am so excited because I have a former client, Candace Kelly, who is here to give us an update. And if you have been following along for a while, then you've probably heard her initial client interview. If you haven't, it's way back there in the archive. So you have to scroll back quite a bit to find it, but it is definitely there. And so something that is really unique in the fitness industry is being able to bring someone back for an update years later, having still maintained their initial success and continued to maintain their habits, right? So as we know, most people fail their diet over and over and over again. Weight loss swings back and forth a million times. I've been there. I've done that. I wrote the damn book. But when you find a way that works, it's pretty amazing. And you are one of the successful 5%ers. I've invited Candace because she is one of the successful 5%ers. So years later, she's here to give us a little bit of an update. So Candace, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure.
Why don't you give our listeners, or why don't you give my listeners a little bit of a background on you? Where are you from? How old are you? Tell them a little bit about your journey, your dieting history.
Yeah, absolutely. I can say I probably co-wrote the dieting book with you, but I am 46, heading into my 47th year coming up. So terrifying for me, inching closer to 50, but that's a whole other story. I live in Rhode Island. I lived in Colorado for a really long time. That was a huge part of my life living there and the mountain towns and the activeness. So that definitely played a part in my whole journey as well, you know, keeping it shorter. But I connected with you through a mutual old client of yours and a friend of mine when I just kind of had enough and, you know, maybe I want to train. What do I want to do? And she had worked with you in the past when she did her bodybuilding stuff. So she connected me with a few people and you were the one that I connected with the most. Your persona, your personality, your ideals just really clicked with me. I had never really struggled with weight most of my life until I got older. And after the birth of my child, I gained a ton of weight, not during, after. A lot of life factors, basically being unhappy, personal stuff, having no motivation, just kind of lost. I did every diet under the sun. I'm pretty sure I did them all. Fasting, Weight Watchers, keto, Atkins. There's a slew, but I've done everything. The bean diet, the cabbage soup.
The bean diet.
That is definitely a chapter
I didn't co-write. I don't know what the bean diet is.
The pulses, eating pulses. Like, I don't even know what that meant, but I followed it. And everything was sort of like a quick fix and I would lose the weight because I am diligent when I do it. And then, of course, rebound effect and I always gain more weight. So it was during COVID that I was my heaviest. And I was like, you had started your program, I think around that time. Yep. And we had been connected with workout stuff. And I was like, oh, sign me up for this. And I just had the focus then. I just was over how I felt, how I looked. And it had reached a point where I was extremely heavy. I'm 5'6", and I weighed 224 pounds, I think, at that point, which is from somebody who pretty much weighed 150 my whole life. It was big for me and just no activity, eating a ton. So no control really over my diet or eating. A lot of binge eating, I'm a very much an emotional eater. I can, you know, recognize that and stress eater. Unless I get extremely stressed, then I don't eat at all, which is also problematic. So started the program. And I always, when I tell people about it, I always joke the first week when it was, I just want you to eat three meals a day. I don't care if it's McDonald's is what you said to me, but just three meals. And I was like, but no snacking? That is so strange. I'm not supposed to snack. Where's my five meals a day? I mean, it was just completely different from anything I had done. But it was almost a relief because there was no like pressure in it. There was no restrictions. And I don't, as we've learned over the years, I don't do well with restrictions. I almost rebel against them and then want to do exactly what I'm not allowed to do.
100%. I think you're like most people. I don't think a lot of people like restriction and restraints put on them, especially when it comes to something like food, which we interact with every single day, multiple times a day. And there's an abundance of options, an abundance of pleasure to be had. And so when you say, no, 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 the brain is like, challenge accepted. Bitch, watch me. Here we go. And we end up like just firing up that little inner rebel. So something that you said, I want to kind of pedal back a little bit. You mentioned that you gained your weight after you having your daughter. And so I'm wondering if you recognized at that time that you were eating emotionally, or did you just feel out of control around food? How were you processing all of that?
I was feeling very out of control around food. And it was, I think on some small level realize it was a bit of a sell, but not like super, super consciously. But I knew that it was out of control. I mean, I was eating fast food constantly, eating all day, every day. I was telling people, breastfeeding's making me fat, but it wasn't. It was just the constant need to feed. Like it was just pacifying something that, you know, I ended up going through a divorce during this whole period, the start of my divorce. And there was a whole slew of factors going in, and I was just using food as a tool to kind of feel better.
Yeah. So you came to me kind of in those earlier stages of your divorce, and you really got on top of your emotional eating. You got on top of your habits and behaviors, jumped in right away. I know you were kind of skeptical getting through. It was a little bit harder to get you through the door, but once you got started, you were in to win it. And I think that's something that you've communicated here is that you are a very committed person. You are very diligent. Once you decide you're in, you're in. And I share that personality trait with you in a lot of ways. So I definitely get it. What do you think it was about the program that has helped you be so successful? What has made it easy to stick with versus, I don't know, the bean diet or any of the other things that you tried through that period to try and figure this out?
My poor body.
I know.
But I put it through. Oh, God. I just think it was almost the relief of restrictions. Like I said, in all aspects of my life, I don't do well with being told I can't do certain things. You know, sometimes to a benefit, sometimes to a detriment. So something I've worked in all areas of my life through therapy and just introspection and that kind of stuff, wanting to grow more, heal as a person. But it was just this like, hey, listen. And it was the fact that it wasn't all at once, the program. It was like literally the first week was you only have to follow this habit. And, you know, as we all know, in theory, it's like, oh, yeah, you just little habits. But they do seem overwhelming depending where you are in your life. And when you've struggled with something so long, you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds so easy. But is it really that easy? And I think because it was broken down so systematically at first for me, which works really well with my kind of personality. And I don't know how you do it now, but we had like a spreadsheet, and I'm a spreadsheet person. So that just gave me I felt like I had a lot of control over what was going on and not just being told by somebody, oh, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, whatever. It just was, it was like the small steps. So everything was small, scaled down and manageable. So like the first 3 weeks that we stuck to the first habit, it was okay, I can actually do this, because it was just one little thing I had to do.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely use habit stacking. So we give one habit at a time, and then we stack another one on top and another one on top. And before you know it, I mean, you look at these initial habits or you look at the individual habits, and you're like, that'll never work. That'll never be enough.
And then like, that'll never be me.
Yeah. It was like, what do you mean? Obviously, I need to count my calories. Obviously, I need to eat a bunch of, what are you talking about McDonald's? Like, I obviously have to be perfect in order to succeed. When you start doing the little things and little plus little plus little stacks on top of each other, all of a sudden you're starting to see success. And we don't focus a ton on scale weight or anything like that in the program. We really just want your habits to be the focus. And then the weight loss is a byproduct of healing your relationship with food, with yourself, with your behaviors, all the things. But you did, in fact, lose a significant amount of weight, right? And have been able to maintain that.
I did lose a significant amount of weight. And I think it was kind of hanging up your preconceptions of calorie counting and that kind of thing. And I'm not going to say the first, you know, start of it wasn't difficult because you're like, wait a minute, this is not, just wrapping my head around how different it was and kind of taking that first step. But like I said, there was a freedom in it as well, because it was very easy for me to accept that. Okay, like I said before, you were like, I don't care what you eat. I don't care if you eat ice cream for breakfast. Just you can only have three meals. And that was like, okay, I can do that. Like I can do that. Obviously we delved in a lot more things in the process, but it was something that to me was like, I can do this. But I think the hardest part was in the very beginning was taking the step about letting go of what you thought was a diet. And this, and you always used to say, it's not a diet. This is habits and how you eat. It was very much changing your thought process.
Did you find that sticking to three meals a day, eliminating the snacking, was able to highlight where your emotional eating was happening most and deal with that versus using it as you said, a salve?
I will say that the three meals a day put an interrogation light on my emotional eating, because I would eat a lot of times out of boredom in the afternoon. That my biggest struggle was the time between lunch and dinner and like the stress of the work day or the family life day, whatever you have going on, which I had both. And so it did, because I would catch myself like really struggling not to snack. When I spent a lot of time in this program, I was not perfect. I had a lot of, you know, those moments, but it was, I think, becoming consciously aware of what I was doing and why. And there was no judgment on it. So you would always say, okay, so you ate that chocolate bar at 3 o'clock. All right, you did that. We're not going to dwell on that forever. We're not going to beat ourselves up, but in the moment, why? And so I think when I just started to develop awareness about what I was doing and just checking in with myself, like, why am I doing this? Like, am I truly hungry? Do I really need this? And sometimes it was, I really need this pile of Doritos to get through the day. Then I would just kind of allow myself that and move on. So there was a sense of this doesn't have to blow everything up. It's just a moment. But as I went further in the program, it was really more recognizing what I was doing. Almost like driving a car, you know, sometimes you drive and you get somewhere and you're like, holy crap, I don't remember like driving here, or the red lights, did I stop at them? That's sort of how I was eating. And now it's a little more conscious. Am I going the speed limit? Am I stopping at all the traffic things I should be stopping at? You know, it's just being a little more keyed in to what was going on.
I love the car analogy, because I use similar car analogies for so many things in my coaching. So I really appreciate a good car analogy. And it's exactly right. Especially when you first learn how to drive a car, it's so clunky. My feet go? Where do my hands go? How do I hold the steering wheel? Is anybody coming? Oh my gosh, it's going fast. How do I, you know, like, it's just so many thoughts. And then you become someone who does these things habitual and you just drive. You just get places. You don't have to think a whole lot about it unless there are detours or traffic or construction or whatever. And then you're, you know, starting to think again. And when your autopilot is habits that aren't serving you, that are weight gain promoting and emotions numbing habits, then that autopilot is no good, right? We have to slow it down and relearn how to drive. But now I imagine that even though you are more conscious, a lot of it feels more automatic, more comfortable. You just kind of know what you're doing. You know what to look for. You know what to watch for a little bit more automatically.
That is true. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't still do some of those things, but I pause and think like, okay, is this one bite going to make me feel better? Give me the pleasure response that I need? Sure. And I can, you know, like I go out to dinner with my friends and if I want to eat a whole cake, I'm going to eat the whole cake. I mean, at the end of the day, if that's what I want, I will do it. Because there is no bad food now in my life. There's no good food. There's no bad food. Obviously, there's more, you know, nutritious food, but at the end of the day, it's food. And so now it's like, yeah, I can have a couple of bites of dessert and feel really good about that. And it tastes fantastic. And I enjoy every second of it, but I don't have to shovel the whole thing in to feel better. I already feel good. And I just, a lot of it now, honestly, the habits have become habits, exactly what they're supposed to be. And so a lot of it isn't probably super conscious. But like I said, it's not perfect. Sometimes I need to tune up. Sometimes I need to say to myself, ooh, let's get back to the basics. My biggest fault in it is probably tuning into when I'm eating, taking the 15, 20 minutes to uninterrupted eat my food. That's probably the thing after I stacked them all, struggled the most with. So when I feel myself maybe, not being a little bit aware of I'm not following my habits or they're not as habitual as they should be, then that's the one I usually key into. And it's almost like you just a little fine tune, like, hey, just you can take 20 minutes and eat and enjoy your food. And when I can sit there and actually enjoy my food and the wonderful, delicious stuff that I've cooked or somebody else has prepared for me or waited on even better, then I can enjoy my meal. And then it's just a small part of my day. And then I move on and I don't think about food again. It's where before it consumed me. When am I eating? What am I eating? Where are we going? Oh God, what am I going to order? Should I do no carbs? I mean, I don't even have that thought process. I'm hungry. I eat. I move on.
There's so much freedom in that. As former dieters, that's all we think about, right?
Yes.
Is when is our next meal? Was that a good or bad meal? Is that weight loss or not weight loss? Did I screw it up? Is the day ruined? We watch the clock. We eat by the clock. We eat by the calculator, the macros, the calories, whatever. Or we're just totally blowing it and making a whole mess of our day or our week or whatever. And so when you just kind of scale it way back and can just, I'm hungry? Yes or no? I'm eating. And like you said, sometimes you check in and go, okay, I'm not actually hungry. I know this is an emotional eat. It's a conscious emotional eat. And when you're conscious, it happens so fewer times. It's so less frequent than when you're just unconsciously doing it because your emotional eating before is habitual instead of conscious. It's just something you do pretty much every day to deal with all the emotions.
It's like smoking, right? You just smoked to smoke, which I used to smoke too. And it just was a habit. You know, you just did it. You didn't even think about it. And it is so freeing because my day isn't consumed by like food and guilt. There was so much guilt wrapped up in it too. Like I screwed up. Now I'm just like, all right, bad moment. We're moving on. Like you don't even have to think about it because you know what to do. And there's freedom too in letting your body do what it's supposed to do. You know, feed itself when it needs to be, like going just to your base biological functions of your body, like eat to survive, eat to live, eat to function. I am a foodie through and through. Don't get me wrong. I love food. I love to cook food. I love to eat food. I do not eat plain, boring food whatsoever. I pretty much like all food. And I'll go out with friends and they're like, oh, what are you? You're going to have pasta? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat all the pasta. And they're like, really? Have you lost weight? I eat whatever I want. And they're like, how? I don't understand. As they're restricting something. I'm like, I literally eat whatever I want. If I want to have that, I'm going to have that. If I want to eat cheese, I eat cheese. I've made whole meals for dinner out of like cheese and some vegetables just because it might be a busy day or whatever. And I'm totally satisfied because it's what I wanted. It felt good. And I ate just until I didn't need to eat anymore. And I can go to bed and I feel fine. I don't have any problems. I think it was the detachment from guilt, which was the biggest thing, like not feeling bad. And if you do have a bad day, which we're all going to have a bad day, I just didn't think about it the next day. I just was moved past it. There's no punishment for myself. No, I got to work out extra. It was like, all right, I ate maybe a little more than I should have. Okay, well, did you feel good? No, I felt uncomfortable. Probably won't do that again. Like I didn't check in with my body. I didn't check in. I rushed. I didn't give myself the time, you know, to feel full, to feel satiated. And so it's just, you know, you do have to have a little bit of conscious awareness, but not much, to be honest. Once the habits are there, it really is just very easy. It just is, I think, getting into it. And I think the hardest part is putting aside the things you already believe.
I would agree with that. The things you already believe. And as you alluded to, the self-criticisms and the guilt and the punishments and things like that, that it's such a waste of energy and it's a waste of your time. If you are sitting there thinking thoughts about, I shouldn't have done that. I need to do better. I'm such a loser, I need to have more discipline, and blah, 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 then you're not spending time asking yourself questions like, what happened there? What can I do next time? How might I improve in the future? Just little ways of shifting into compassion and curiosity instead of self-loathing and self-criticism. It makes all the difference in the world. And to kind of expand on your thought there about, yeah, it does take some consciousness to stop at satiated instead of full. But I would bet that any client I have worked with in this way could look back and go, you know what? I used to be able to eat a lot of food before I got to that place where it was just like, oh, I'm full. And now that level of fullness comes so much faster than it used to because you just retrain those signals and your awareness, even though you still can overeat, you can't overeat like you used to.
Oh, God, no. Like, not even close. I used to be like a bottomless pit. I can't do that now just because my body just doesn't function that way now. It just doesn't need it. And it just doesn't have the expansiveness to even do that because of how I've been eating for so many years now. And it's just being all things keyed into what you're doing. Like with anything, you want to be keyed into what you're doing. And it's just being conscious. It only takes a little bit of awareness of your body. And it, like I said, it just has a natural way of functioning on its own. It's like, oh, hey, we're keyed in. You know what? I'm feeling like this is enough for me. And there's not many things that I in life, I always am like more, more, more. I just like things and not feeling lack. I grew up with a lot of lack. And so I think food was tied into that too. But it's just like gone now. I don't feel that way anymore. It's like there is an abundance of food. I am not going to go without. And I just need to give myself what I need. To feel good, to feel satiated, and to be happy and move on. I mean, it just is, leaves so much room for so many other things in your brain and in your life because you're not consumed by this one thing. I mean, really the space that not being worried about diet and food and exercise and all that stuff just has opened up some space for so many more other things.
So what are you up to now that you aren't a gold medal earning diet champion in the Olympics like I was.
I have more energy and focus for my work, my family life, my friends. When you free up your thoughts, you can kind of direct them where you want them to go. So in a day where I would be so focused and consumed by what am I eating, now I'm just like, okay, I'm going to, like, I do plan meals for the week because I am a single mother. So I'll be like, you know, okay, I'm going to cook on Sunday and I can eat off that for a few days. And that's just convenience. It's not like a diet or food thing. It's a convenience thing. And I'm like, what delicious thing am I going to cook for myself? Two meals for the week is what I usually do. But I have more space in the day to where am I putting this energy to? Am I putting it towards my kid? Am I putting it towards my work? So I feel like other areas of my life have flourished because they're getting some of the energy that was consumed by, I would say, almost crushing obsession with my weight. I mean, I would get on the scale every single day. And that was a hard habit to break. I still sometimes am like, ooh, should I get on the scale? But I weigh in just like as a touchstone here and there. I've started lifting a lot in the past few years. So I know that necessarily the scale is not the way to go. It's how do I feel? How do my clothes fit? And so I feel like I'm living more with more awareness in my body as a whole. What feels good? What doesn't feel good?
100%. I mean, you could jump on the scale and it could be 20 pounds lighter than the number that you see today. But if this is the body that you're in, regardless of what it weighs, it doesn't matter. What matters is how you feel about it. If you're in alignment with your values, if you're in tune and in check with your body's communication signals, do you have the energy? Is your hunger signals in check? Are your cravings and things like that handled? And are you making sure that you eat for energy, nutrients, and pleasure? Because if we cut any of that out, we have a recipe for a miserable relationship with food and our bodies and ourselves. So the number on the scale, whatever. I'm pretty neutral about the scale personally, but it took me a lot of years to get to the place where I didn't let it make me feel a certain kind of way. positive or negative. And, you know, I was like you, I weighed every day or sometimes multiple times a day. I learned that I was lighter at certain periods of the day. So that would be like my weigh-in. It was so obsessive, so exhausting, but I didn't see any other way out because that's where my self-worth lived. And I'm just so pleased and so happy to hear you talk about how relaxed you are about all of it, because I know how it feels to be stuck in that gross, obsessive place.
Yeah, it's almost being like let out of jail, almost, kind of in a way. And the scale obsession, that was a hard one for me because you see it. And for women, my weight changes like constantly. So I just had to kind of put that away because it was a stress factor for me. And I'm on the road a lot for my job. So that was challenging too, because I started to go in periods of not eating and not eating enough. And then I would overeat. So I kind of had to figure out a process for me that worked when I'm on the road. Like sometimes I do bring my food with me, not because it's weighed or it's the macros or whatever I need, which I never figured out, but to adhere, just be like, what can I bring with me in the car that's going to satisfy me and fuel me for the rest of my busy day and also be enjoyable while I'm running around in the car all day. So I've just, you know, I have to make some concessions here and there, but it's still within the confines of these habits that I've built. You know, there's nothing that's branching out. Like if I'm on the road, like the other day I was on the road and I had forgotten my food that I wanted to bring. And so I went to Burger King and I got a wrap and I ate it and didn't think twice about it. Like, nope, I needed fuel at that moment to get me through my day. I ate my food. I felt full. I felt great. And I went on. I didn't beat myself up over the fact that, oh God, I ate fast food. It was just food. I ate it. I needed it. And I went on with my day.
Yeah. I mean, my husband and I literally went to Burger King the other night. I picked him up from, he had been traveling and I picked him up and we were both hungry. We stopped at Burger King. We ate an Impossible Burger. And that was that, you know, moving on. It's fast food is not the devil in my book. It's just a convenient way to eat and not a way that I want to eat all the time because it doesn't make me feel awesome. But so what? It's still a pleasurable and convenient way to go about things when you need it. So I'm curious how vacations, traveling, holidays, celebrations, birthday parties, office treat, all those kinds of things that tend to be such an enemy in dieting, how that stuff goes for you now. Do you feel like it's easy to take your habits with you or do you feel like those are more struggles?
Oh, no, I at this point, because I've been doing it so long, I don't find any struggle. The only thing sometimes is if, like you have an early flight, like I don't like to eat in the morning, like early. So, you know, sometimes and then you're on the plane and you don't have food. So sometimes those days are a little rough because then I'll land and be like, feed me. And sometimes I will overeat a little bit and then be like, I'm uncomfortable. Like I should have slowed it down. You know, I need to shovel it in, but you're traveling all day. So I just don't give myself a lot of grief about that. I'm like, oh, well, it was what it was. You were hungry and you overeat. And I don't find vacation. I still eat the same way. Like, I get up, I eat, and, you know, and office treats, it's a pleasurable thing. So I'll have an office treat. I usually try to tie those things in with like my meal. Is it part of my lunch? Is it part of my dinner? So it's just part of my meal and not something like a snack or separate. Not that I like am super hard on myself about that. That's just something I've refined for myself over the years that works better for me because then it's just part of my meal. But no, if there's an office treat, I go and eat it. I have a couple of bites. I'm like, okay, does that feel good? Am I satiated from those few bites? Yeah, I am. It felt great. I had a wonderful treat and I'm done. I just don't have this like desire to eat it all because I don't want, if I wanted to eat it all, I would. There's no like, oh, don't eat all that. It's just like, no, I had a few bites of that brownie and it was delicious, but I don't really need any more. I'm not hungry. I don't need that in this moment. And so I just put it down and I'm done.
You're one of the magical unicorns that people talk about. Like, oh my God, she can eat two bites of a cookie and walk away. I could never do that. And that truly is the power of having these habits in place and eating in a way that doesn't leave you feeling restricted and deprived. Eating in a way that includes on purpose foods that bring you pleasure, but doing them in eating them in a way that's intentional. And as you said, kind of focused and you're present for your meals. That makes a huge difference in being able to walk away at just one cookie instead of eating the whole tray.
Huge difference. And I find if I'm mindful about it and I take my time just like I do with my other meals, then I don't need to shovel the whole thing in to get that pleasure response and feeling. I can like really savor the few bites that maybe that's all I needed. And like I said, have there been times where I've eaten the whole brownie? Heck yes, I eat the whole brownie. I don't not eat the whole brownie, but there's a lot of times where if I'm consciously eating it and like really being like, this is delicious, I'm like, yeah, I don't really need anymore. Like it gets, the bite gets less and less enjoyable, right? And by the fourth bite, I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting the same response now. I'm probably good. I'm not hungry. So I'm not going to eat any more of this because I just don't need to. I don't want to. And not because it's bad, like I said, just because I don't need any more food. I've had what I need.
You've hit what my friend and colleague Leslie Hooper calls peak pleasure. It's not going to get any better with more bites.
No.
You hit a point where you've had all the pleasure you're going to get out of that food. And anything extra is just extra. You're just seeking at that point, but not actually receiving. And when you get that, you get that. Most people do not get that until they go through a process like this. At least most people who struggle with dieting and emotional eating and overeating and yo-yoing and stuff like that, because they're like, what are you even talking about? But once you experience that moment where you're just like, this is giving me all it's going to give me, and I'm just done, regardless of whether it was 3/4 of a brownie, the whole brownie, or a bite, doesn't matter. There's just that point where you're just done.
You're just done. And I'm not saying it was like, oh, I just signed up and then I was like totally eating like this, but it wasn't hard. I mean, it was mentally challenging at times because you are breaking a cycle and old habits, but it wasn't something that was not completely doable for me. And I, you know, like we talked about, I was slightly resistant at first, but once I was in it, I was like, yeah, I can do this. And I didn't feel deprived in any way, which was a big thing for me. Like, I don't want to feel deprived. Like I remember saying that numerous times. I don't want to feel deprived or stressed, but I didn't. It was very easy to follow for me because it just was the very good boundaries and guidelines. And there was no stress about if you didn't maybe make something work, like happen. Like, oh, you know, I followed. And then I would always say to myself, well, you know what? You have 4 habits stacked now and you did 3 out of 4. Like, that's pretty good. That's better than the 0 out of 4 we had 3 weeks ago. So it was like progress. And there was some incremental progress and some weeks were better than others, but it's funny how it just becomes a way of life. Like you said before, brushing your teeth, like I don't even think about it. This is just how I eat. This is just not my diet. This is just how I eat.
Yeah. You think about it more when you overeat and it just feels so out of alignment. Just like if you skipped brushing your teeth, you'd just be like, oh, these feel a little furry. Something's off here.
And that's kind of the same thing. Like you overeat to the point of being sick and you're like, ugh, something does not feel good here. Like this is not a good feeling. I don't like this feeling and I don't want to have it. And so, you know, when you start scaling into those habits and you're like, wow, eating out of 5 or 6 feels good. And then you eat to a 9, you're like, oof, this does not feel good anymore. I don't feel comfortable and I don't want to be uncomfortable.
100%. Couldn't agree with you more. So about how long do you think it took you to start seeing some physical changes?
I mean, for me, and I know everybody's different, not that long. I think it was a couple of weeks because I was implementing working out, small workouts. I started with small workouts, which I always laugh when we always talk about. I was like, I hate lifting weights. And I hate vegetables. Well, still love the vegetables, but I love lifting weights. And I felt like that in combination with it, and it's not something I made myself do. I just started to really enjoy it. It just works for my body. So I think I started to see results within a few weeks. I lost a pretty decent amount of weight, I'd say, in the first month. And I really do think a lot of that came down to I was just eating 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
So yeah. I probably had cut quite a bit of calories, like not consciously, just by changing my eating habit, because I was pretty much a chronic snacker. And so I was just eating what I needed to eat in a day, really. And so I think my body just took to it pretty quickly. I mean, it took me definitely a year to lose the weight I've lost now. I lost like 40 pounds. So I'd say it was about a year. But I think the first couple of weeks, I did lose some weight right off the bat.
Yeah. Which if you're a chronic snacker, you will. You go from eating 6-8 times a day to eating 3-4 times a day. you probably will, you know, as you said, just it just cuts out some of those calories automatically, but you're eating much more satisfying, fulfilling meals because you're not constantly grazing all the time. You're not constantly topping off. You actually do experience some physical hunger before your meals, which makes food taste so much better than if you're already just full, kind of grazing and eating. So yeah, the whole experience just doesn't surprise me that you started losing pretty quickly just because of the previous snacking. And as you said, binging and things like that as well.
Yeah, I definitely had pretty good success right off the bat. And I remember that. And then that helped me stick with it because I was like, oh, wow, this is working. And wow, I didn't have to really do that much.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of thought to it or process to it, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was kind of easy.
You know, I always tell clients, it's not that it's hard. It's just that it's repetitive. You have to continue to repeat. You have to be willing to take a look instead of looking away at where you're overeating and things like that. When they happen, you can't look away. You have to look at these things and say, where is this in my patterns? Where is this continuing to show up? So we can come up with some kind of strategy, some kind of thought to work on when you're in that funk, when you're in your pattern. And that's what changes everything. So you've been out of the program for quite some time. Like you said, you came during the COVID period. So, and you've maintained.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you mentioned was you notice when your habits are getting just a little blurry, the boundaries are getting a little blurry, and you're like, okay, sit your ass in a chair, have lunch. Like, you don't have to be distracted and things like that. Is there anything else that you have done to help yourself stay tuned into the habits that you've worked so hard to build?
Just like every now and then I'll be like, you're overeating a little bit. Maybe I find myself snacking and I just kind of pause and go back. It's almost like a touchstone. Let's just go back and recalibrate. Like, what am I not doing here that usually is pretty, and like I said, it's become pretty much second nature, habitual for me. But every once in a while, like, these things come up because I am a human being for the most part, and they'll come up and I just will be like, hold on a second. What am I kind of veering off? Like, what habit am I kind of like sidelining here? And it's just kind of just having that awareness maybe for a day or in the moment even. And then it's like, I'm back on track.
Yeah. So it's just about shortening the gap between when you're making a decision that maybe isn't goal supporting, isn't habit supporting, and making your next best choice.
Exactly. And it's just, and like I said, it doesn't take a lot of thought or effort. It's just in that, just saying, hold on a second. Maybe I'm a little off something here. Maybe I got a little derailed on something. And it's just kind of like touching that and saying, oh yeah, that's what I was doing, you know. Or maybe I'm having a really bad day and I like reach for something and I'm like, am I just stressed? Like, is there something else I could do in this moment? Like, do I really need that piece of chocolate or nachos? If I do want them, I just eat them. Because sometimes you just need that to feel better. And that's okay too. But that doesn't happen very often now because I'm just so aware of it.
So what are some of the other ways that you help yourself feel better?
Well, exercise, shockingly, has become something I love. And actually, I just have more, like, a little more time, like at night where I used to sit down and like snack or eat because I was bored. I just am like, oh, you know, I give myself little tasks lists of things I want to do around the house. Like, I kind of wanted to organize, and not big things. Like, I wanted to organize that bathroom closet. Like, I'm sick of my products being everywhere. And I'll be like, well, I have a free hour right now at night. Like, why don't I just do that now so that it's not on my plate for the rest of the week? So it's like, I just keep busy, which helps me too. But there are nights I just sit on the couch and watch TV and veg out and I'll make a cup of tea and I'm like totally fine. I don't need to have anything else. Like, sometimes I just want to relax and veg out, but I don't, that used to be attached to like snacking too. And now I'm like, well, I don't need to snack to relax. I can just relax and unwind and kind of lose myself in my show. And if I want to have like popcorn, I'm like, well, am I hungry or do I just want popcorn because I want something to munch on? I don't like drill in, like I don't spend hours on it. I give like literally a minute. Like, do I really want that right now? Yeah. Okay. Then I'll have it. And if I don't, I don't. It's just, it's like a fleeting moment where before it was, you know, minutes of agony of debating. Now it's just, in and out. It's in and out of the consciousness.
Doesn't feel urgent anymore in the same way.
Mm-mm. It just doesn't carry the same literal weight anymore, right? Like it doesn't carry the same weight anymore for me. It's just, it's not a priority in my life, dieting and food and all that stuff. It's just, there's so many other things that get my energy now and my focus.
Well, if you had a piece of advice to give people who are kind of on the fence about maybe joining a program like this, doesn't really feel like they have a lot of control over their calories and their macros, they're a little scared to eat foods that are pleasurable to them, maybe worried that these are fat-gaining foods or something like that. I mean, we are going to be opening the doors to Unstuffed pretty soon, which is a longer version of the program that you actually did. But you also did some one-on-one coaching after the initial program. Mm-hmm. So very similar experience there. And I just wonder if somebody's on the fence, if they're feeling some doubt, what would you tell them?
I would say do it. You have nothing like, well, you have, you know, a lot to lose, but you have everything to gain from doing it. I think that it is scary because you are really unpacking years and years and years of like industry clutter in your brain, right? Like that constant, and it's all over social media now, like social media and commercials and everything. So you're inundated by this stuff constantly, right? All these people you see online and what they're doing and these fitness influencers, my God, I even laugh when I see stuff on Instagram. I'm like, that's what you eat in a day? That's insane. I would die. I would literally fall over and die if I only had that amount of food in a day. But I just am like, jump in and do it, because it really is not, the scary part is doing it and unpacking all of that history that you have. The rest of it is completely doable. And it is literally the most freeing thing I've ever done. And it has changed my life with my relationship to food, my relationship to my body and my health. It's and been completely freeing. And it's not a diet. I don't consider it a diet. It's like, this is just how I eat. This is my lifestyle. This is literally just how I function and operate now. And it's not even something that I spend too much time or awareness on. I say to people, do it. I mean, it's the best thing I did. And it literally changed my life. I mean, it really did. And I tell people that all the time. And I love telling people when I go out with them and stuff, I can eat whatever I want. And whatever I want, I can eat. There's nothing off the table.
I love that. I love that for you. I love that for them. I think that's amazing. So, well, thank you for the glowing endorsement and the nudge that people probably need, because I can say it all day long, because it changed my life too, to change from dieting to habit-focused behavior change, and the psychology pieces and becoming so much more emotionally aware of what was driving my eating in the first place. I can say that all day long. It'll fall on deaf ears, but it's so much more powerful coming from someone like you who has walked the walk and continues to walk the walk. And now you're back, but just for strength training, not continue to lose weight, because the habits are habits. So now we're just working on some training and doing some things like that, which is fun and exciting. And it's more about giving something to you instead of trying to fix something that is broken, which is a completely different energy.
This is just an enhancement to what I'm already doing. And I, since anybody that is listening to this, I would say this is the sign from the universe that you should absolutely do this, because if you're on the fence, don't be, just do it. You don't, there's nothing to lose in it, the process. There really isn't.
Well, I'm super proud of you. So glad to be able to reconnect. And thank you so very much for coming back onto the podcast and sharing your update. I think it's really important. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, you were a huge part. The support that you get from the coaching is awesome, too.
All right, y'all. Well, that is all I have for you today. But if you have any questions, any comments, if you want to know more about the program, of course, all of that information is in the show notes. And my inbox is always, always, always open for you. And we will see you next week. Bye.